against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come.
Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
We want to talk today about one of the great prophecies given by Jesus Christ himself. All of you have probably heard about it. Jesus said there was a particular generation that would not pass until the Great Tribulation was over, until the second coming of Jesus happened, until everything was wrapped up as far as end time events go. We want to look a little closer at that prophecy because all of us wonder, am I the generation that shall not pass until everything is fulfilled? Let's look at the prophecy. It's Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is the most famous prophecy chapter in the entire Bible. It's called the Olivet Discourse because it was given by Jesus Christ himself on the Mount of Olives. We pick it up at verse number 32 of Matthew chapter 24. Here's what Jesus said. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Then Jesus said, so likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Now, probably the most prominent teaching about this passage claims that Israel is the fig tree in Scripture. Furthermore, those who hold this view say that the generation that sees the rebirth of Israel will not pass until all things are fulfilled, including the Great Tribulation and the Second Coming. The other question is, how long is a generation? So if in fact the rebirth of Israel as a nation in 1948 was the signal for this final generation to begin, we have to ask, how long is a generation? Some people say, well, a generation is 40 years. That's what some people teach. But there was a problem with that. If it in fact we're 40 years, that means 40 years from 1948 when Israel was reborn as a nation would be 1988. That means the Great Tribulation would have to take place and the Second Coming would have to take place. I actually had a guest minister in my church in Richmond, Indiana many years ago that believed this. And he tried to tell us, I think he was with us around 1979 or 1980, and he tried to tell us that the Lord had to come by 1981, because then there would be a seven-year tribulation and then everything wrapped up. Obviously, that didn't happen. Now, what if a generation were 70 years? 1948 plus 70 would be 2018. There are some people right now claiming on the strength of that the Lord must come back by 2018. But they failed to notice that in the Matthew 24 prophecy, Jesus said the Great Tribulation would happen, the Second Coming would happen, that would be the generation. So that means that if they believe that there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, that would have to happen by 2011. Obviously, that's already passed. So if the Lord is coming by 2018, the Great Tribulation has to happen. Then the Lord comes. So that's not possible either because the Great Tribulation hasn't even begun yet. And yet 2018 is just next year. Why aren't these explanations working out? Question number one, Is the fig tree really Israel? Do we have any biblical proof that in this parable that Jesus gave, that the fig tree is Israel? There's actually another account of this parable in Luke chapter 21, verse 29 through 32. Now, here's what Jesus said. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. He said, this parable does not depend on just the fig tree. But behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. Okay, so he said, all the trees, when they bud, you know summer is nigh. And likewise, when you see all these things, then know that this generation shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. The fig tree is not Israel. Actually, in the Bible, Israel is symbolized as the olive tree. So now we've got a disconnect in that explanation for this prophecy. Next question, do we have any sure proof of how long a generation is? The prophet David said in Psalms 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. So David said, the natural course of the human race today is a generation lives 70 years. Now, we know when mankind was created back in the Garden of Eden that people were living to be almost 1,000 years. We know that Adam lived to be 930 years of age. We know that Methuselah was the longest living person ever, 969 years. That was a generation then. Then because of the evil of mankind, God decided he better shorten their lives because instead of getting better the longer they lived, the more evil they became the longer they lived. So he shortened the lifespan down to 120 years. Still didn't work. So he shortened it once again down to 70 years. And that's where we are right now. The average person lives in the neighborhood of 70 years. So we can safely assume that a generation is 70 years. However, where do we start from to count the generation? Since Israel is not in the Bible, symbolized as the fig tree, and so we can't blast off from that particular incident when Israel was reborn on May the 14th of 1948, then where do we start the counting? When Jesus said, when you see these things, then know that the generation that sees these things shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. Now, we're really interested because we know we're living in the time of the most accurate prophetic fulfillment in the history of the world. So the big question today is, are you and I the generation that's going to see these things? Actually, we have a DVD produced here at End Time Ministries. This generation shall not pass. We go deep into this prophecy in this DVD. If you're interested and you'd like to get your own copy, the number to call is 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. Or you could go to endtime.com. That's our website. And you can also order from there. I highly recommend this because this is one of the big prophecies given by Jesus himself in Scripture. All right, now let's explore a little bit more. What actually produced this prophecy? Jesus had come down to the feast from his home in Capernaum. He traveled all the way down to Jerusalem, about a 100-mile trip. When he got there, the disciples felt like they should give him a grand tour of the Temple Mount. Herod the Great had enlarged the temple, made it much more beautiful, until it was said in that day, a person who has never seen Herod's temple has never seen a beautiful building in his life. So it was considered a wonderful thing. First of all, the temple was the place where God said, I'll put my name there. Secondly, it's the place where the Jewish people came to sacrifice, and they were commanded to come there 3 times a year to the Temple Mount. And here their temple stood. The first temple was built by Solomon. Then the second temple was built in 516 BC. And now here it stands in all of its beauty on the Mount of Olives. So the disciples wanted to give Jesus the grand tour. They were showing him around and they were oohing and aahing over the incredible beauty of this place. And all of a sudden, Jesus interrupted them. He said, "It's all coming down. Not one stone is going to be left upon another." That was like throwing cold ice water in the face of the disciples. It shocked them so bad that they asked two questions. They said, "Lord, when shall these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Now let's remember those two questions. When will these things be? When will Jerusalem be destroyed? When will the temple be destroyed? Not one stone left upon another. And then the next question is, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus spent the rest of the 24th chapter of Matthew explaining or answering those two questions that the disciples asked. But most of his explanation is for you and me today, not for them 2,000 years ago. So what did Jesus actually say? He said, well, number one, take heed that no man deceive you, because many shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. Many will come claiming to be Christian, but they won't be teaching to Christianity. Well, we're seeing a lot of that today. And then Jesus said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, a time of Christian persecution. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. The business will be deception, getting people to believe things that are not true. Finally, verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, let's think about all this. Did Jesus give us the answer? Where do we drive a stake in the ground and say, okay, from this point on, the generation that sees these things won't pass until the great tribulation is over and the second coming and the gathering of the saints to Jesus Christ occurs? Is there anything there? Because these are all pretty general signs. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, diverse places. I mean, after all, haven't we always had wars? And pretty much always rumors of wars? And haven't there always been earthquakes and pestilences? So these are general signs, but they're not specific signs where we could drive a stake in the ground and say the generation that sees these things won't pass until everything is fulfilled. So we have to ask ourselves this question. Are there any one-time occurrences that Jesus foretold? Things that once we see them, we will know we're that generation that Jesus was referring to when he said, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. Well, there are two specific incidences in the 24th chapter of Matthew that are one-time events. The first one Jesus mentioned in the 15th verse of Matthew 24. Jesus said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. So one event that's going to happen is the abomination of desolation. What is the abomination of desolation? Jesus gave us a hint here. He said, it will stand in the holy place. We know the holy place was in the temple, and the temple was on the Temple Mount. But that still doesn't explain it fully. He referred back to Daniel 9:27 in the famous prophecy of the final 7 years. He said, in the midst of the final 7 years, that the Antichrist will place the abomination that make it desolate. The Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 3 and 4, explained it more fully. And again, he was answering the question about the second coming. He wrote to the Thessalonians, actually starting with verse number 1 in chapter number 2 of 2 Thessalonians. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as though the day of Christ is at hand. That day shall not come except two things happen. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed, who exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. Now listen close. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, claiming to be God. Okay, the abomination of desolation is supposed to happen in the temple, on the Temple Mount. And the Bible says here that the Antichrist, the son of perdition, is going to exalt himself above God himself, and he's going to stand on the Temple Mount claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be God. That's the abomination of desolation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, anyone who sees this event is part of that generation that shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. I want to remind you once again, this is such a vital prophecy that we made a special DVD. This generation shall not pass. To get your copy, the number to call, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. This is one of the greatest prophecies in the Bible given by Jesus Christ himself. And we explain step by step how you can know whether you're a part of the generation that will not pass until everything is fulfilled. So, sign number one, the abomination of desolation. When the Antichrist stands on the Temple Mount, exalting himself above God, claiming to be God, that's the abomination of desolation. And the generation that sees this will not pass. As a matter of fact, we can prove scripturally that that event happens 3.5 years before the second coming. The Bible even says that it's the abomination of desolation that marks the beginning of the great tribulation, that 3.5 year period. Now, some of you may be saying, wait a minute. I thought the great tribulation lasted 7 years. Would it shock you to know there's not one scripture in the entire Bible that teaches a 7 year tribulation? Where do we get these ideas from? But there are 6 specific scriptures that say the Great Tribulation will last for 3.5 years. Now, that's not a big salvation issue, so I wouldn't get too upset over it. However, it is important to understand the overall plan of God and the timeline of end time events. So the abomination of desolation happens. There is a final 7 year period called Daniel's 70th week. But the abomination of desolation happens in the middle. And Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, then shall be great tribulation such as never been before, nor ever again shall be. So the generation that sees the abomination of desolation is the generation that shall not pass until everything is wrapped up. The next thing in this chapter that is a one-time event is found in verse number 16. Now, let me go back to verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, whoso reads, let him understand. Verse 16, then let those which be in Judea Flee into the mountains. If you're on the housetop, don't even come down into your house to grab your clothes. Hit the ground running, because then will be great tribulation such as never has been before, nor ever again shall be. Okay, now keep that in your mind, because I want to step back for just a moment. The abomination of desolation can only occur after a Middle East peace agreement, which is going to come very quickly. The Middle East peace agreement triggers the final 7 years to the Battle of Armageddon. And under this peace agreement, we can prove scripturally that the Temple Mount is going to be placed under a sharing arrangement. There's a huge dispute over who should control the Temple Mount in Jerusalem right now. They're going to solve that problem by placing it under a sharing arrangement. That's going to allow the Jews to build their temple on the Temple Mount. Right now, the Jews are not allowed to even pray up there, but they're insisting, we've been gone from our temple and from our holiest place for 2,000 years. We must have the right to build. So many people have already proposed, well, let's just share the Temple Mount. The third temple can stand there. That's what's actually going to happen. And when they start offering animal sacrifices, the Bible says that the Antichrist will stop the sacrifices and say, I am God, you don't need these sacrifices. That will trigger the Great Tribulation. But now let's go back to the subject of the Jews of Judea, because when that event happens, when the Antichrist stands on the Temple Mount, claim to be Messiah and God, the Bible says, then will be great tribulation. So the Jews of Judea will have to flee. Now, it may surprise you to know that this prophecy could not possibly have been fulfilled prior to 1967, because there were no Jews in Judea prior to 67. The Jordanians had illegally occupied the area of Judea, which is commonly referred to as the West Bank. They had occupied that area from 1948 until 1967. But when they attacked Israel in the 67 war, Israel counterattacked, drove them all the way out of Judea, back across the Jordan River from whence they had come in 1948. And Israel has had possession of this area ever since. Consequently, many Jews have gone in there since that time. 850,000 Jews have gone in there, and they are now living in the area of Judea. 350,000 of them are in Jerusalem. The other 400,000 or so are living in Judea. Now, the Bible teaches under this peace agreement that's coming, there's going to be a Palestinian state created. And Palestine says there will never be peace until there's a two-state solution. Most of the world agrees with that. The United Nations agrees with that. The European Union agrees. And even Benjamin Netanyahu, the present leader of Israel, has come out in favor of the two-state solution. That's where we're headed. Now, these Jews that are living out there right now in the area that will become the Palestinian state, there's been a lot of discussion. What are we going to do with them? However, both Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinians, and Benjamin Netanyahu, the present head of Israel, have said, look, there's an easy solution. We have 1.6 million Arabs living in Israel as an Arab minority. Why couldn't we have 300,000 or 400,000 Jews living in Palestine as a Jewish minority? They both agreed that would be the only possible solution to this 450,000 number of Jews that are presently living where the Palestinian state soon will be. So the Palestinian state will be created when they conclude the peace agreement that starts the final 7 years. It's going to look like it's working for 3.5 years. However, when the Antichrist stands on the Temple Mount claiming to be the ultimate authority there, something about that is going to trigger rage in the Palestinian people, and they're going to start slaughtering the Jews. Jesus said, those of you that are in Judea, if you're on your housetop, don't even come down into your house to grab your clothes. Hit the ground running. Why? Because verse 21 tells us, for then shall be great tribulation, such as never been before, nor ever again shall be. If you're on the housetop, don't even stop by your bedroom to grab your clothes. If you're in the field, don't come back to your house to grab your billfold, because then will be great tribulation, such as never been before, nor ever again shall be. Jesus himself prophesied all these things. Now, it was after he gave us all these details that we get back to the text that we started from, where Jesus said, consider the fig tree and all the trees. When you see them budding, you know that summer is nigh. And furthermore, when you see all these things that I have prophesied here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, then know that the generation that sees these things shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. So what did Jesus tell us specifically? He told us, number one, that the generation that sees the abomination of desolation, sees the Temple Mount being placed under a sharing arrangement, sees the Jewish temple, the first one in 2,000 years, being built on the Temple Mount, and then sees the sacrifices resumed, the generation that sees that will not pass until everything is fulfilled. And secondly, the generation that sees all those Jews living out there as a Jewish minority under the new Palestinian state, well, they're going to have to run for their life. So Jesus said, when you see these two specific things, which we're witnessing right now, taking shape right now, the stage is being set. When you see these things, then know you're the generation that will not pass until all things be fulfilled. Once again, the DVD, This Generation Will Not Pass. Get your own copy, the number to call, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. Or go to endtime.com.
Have you always wanted to know more about Bible prophecy? Well, now you can. Attend a prophecy conference hosted by End of the Ages, Irvin Baxter. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com/events to see when Irvin will be at a location near you.